This is your 101.7 The Truth News Update.
Hello, everyone. This is Rhea Riley with your news update.
Getting hired in Milwaukee. The city is hosting multiple job fairs this year to help members of the community get hired. Workforce outreach specialist Jason Thompson says this.
The most rewarding part is when I actually hear people tell us that they appreciate us being here and when they ask us to do more. It dispels the myth that, first of all, people in Milwaukee don't want to work, right? That's a typical mythology. But then it also dispels the myth that employers are afraid to come into the city and connect with people.
The next job fair will be on July 24th at Sherman and Washington Parks. A Milwaukee woman is charged with stealing from a grocery store and making bomb threats. 49-year-old Andrea Cloud Jones faces two felonies for taking items from the Pick and Save near 84th and Blue Mound on the 4th of July. The store manager found her putting food and alcohol in her bag, then trying to walk out without paying. When confronted, Cloud Jones said she was an FBI agent and had placed a bomb in the store. She was later arrested at a nearby Starbucks. The bureau director of the Wisconsin State Patrol and his wife are dead after a shooting in their home. David and Teresa Papps were found dead in their Middletown home Tuesday by a family member. Authorities say their son, James Papps, shot the two and then fled the scene. Papps' car was later spotted near Viroqua in Vernon County. Law enforcement approached the car and determined Papps had died by suicide. The Dane County Executive's Office says the gun used in the shooting was legally purchased. Fallen Milwaukee police officer Kendall Corder will be laid to rest today. Following a celebration of life and funeral at Elmbrook Church in Brookfield, a procession will bring Corder to his final resting place at Wisconsin Memorial Park. The public is welcome to watch a funeral procession this afternoon, running along Barker Road and Capitol Drive in Brookfield. The burial will be a private ceremony.
This has been your news update. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on the new 101.7 The Truth.
Bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot but, of a judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people, if you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth App.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. I guess it'll be a semi-pop-off Friday. A semi-pop-off. I am going to pop off about beyond the mic, though. Sherwin should be joining me around 5:30 or so, so I get to holler at him and see what he doing and see if y'all gonna join him and all that stuff. So it's from 5 to 7 today at Mr. B's up on 86 and Brown Deer. And he better have my show on. That's what I'm gonna pop off about. He better have my show on. So when y'all go in, if they playing music, ask him, how come y'all not listening to Dr. Ken?
ask him. Go go in and ask Sherwin. Say, hey, Sherwin, turn on Dr. Ken. See what he say. He'll probably get mad. Like, what? I ain't playing him. I ain't put him on my show. What's going on with that? So it's Friday. It's overcast. I thought it was going to be nice today. It wasn't. It's a dreary, cold day. Like, dude, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Hang on. I don't know if I can do it. Well, wait a minute. Let me do this. Let me get on YouTube to see how I can do this. Because, you know, yes, I'm acting kind of silly today. Because it's Friday. I had all Friday music lined up. I didn't send it. All songs that had Friday in it. You know why? Because I ran out of songs. I actually ran out of songs. Because I found out it's not a lot of songs that have Friday in it. So, all right. So let's see. See this? Can you see this? That's how I dress today. I got New Balance shoes. I got Brooks Brothers socks. I got Brooks Brothers shorts. I got a Brooks Brothers shirt. I said, I'm going to be blue today, right? In honor of Officer Carter, said I'll wear police blue. I got a blue watch band. I even got a watch with a blue face. I got blue glasses. And it rained. I'm like, what? What is going on? Of course, I checked the weather service and they said it was going to rain. They said off and on. It ain't stopped raining. So I'm a little salty today. Hey, what's up, Kwanda? How are you doing? Sincere Ronnie Real. I keep saying his name wrong. Sincere Ronnie Ray Real, not really a city girl. What's going on? Where you been? Where you been? Tenji is here. What'd it do? Everybody show up on Friday because it's Pop Off Friday. They want to hear what I'm going to get into, what I'm going to get mad about. But before I do that, I want to share a few stories about today. We all know today they're laying Officer Carter to rest. And for most of the week, I really didn't want to talk about it. A lot of my teammates were very understanding when they had questions about stuff. And I was like, I don't really want to talk about it. But there's some reasons why. Some of them I've shared before, but I thought I'd put them all together in one piece. I've had a few things late in my career, but I want to tell you about some things that happened to me early in my career. Because when you look at 30 years of law enforcement, 29 years of law enforcement, you get a little jaded. And then I remind people, isn't that what you ask police to do? You ask the police to do the things that you don't want to do, like deal with certain things in life. So that's what we do. And I switch back, and people are really quick to say, it's not... You ain't a cop no more. I'm like, that's like telling somebody in the military they're not in the military anymore when they get out. Once you're a veteran, you're always a veteran. Once you're a cop, if you retire, you remain a cop. I'm going to always be Lieutenant Harris. You're going to always be Sergeant, Captain, Inspector, whatever your rank was, Chief. You'll always be Officer, and it becomes a part of your life. I remember one day that was Amazon going into my garage. I remember one day there was a call for entry in progress. Now, what that means is that someone's breaking into a house, right? Subject is seen going into the inside of the house and he's in the house. So now we're like, okay, so what's going on here? Is somebody breaking into the house or not? What's going on? So then one of the things we did is we get to the house, we park down the street, we walk up the street, and as we walk up the street, we see the guy climbing out of the house. And as he's climbing out of the house, I'm thinking to myself, why is this guy climbing out of the window? And we see him climbing out of the window, and we're looking at him, and you know, we're thinking, okay, this isn't right. So what did we do? What did we do, right? We get him at gunpoint. We get him, and we say, hey, let me see your hands. And the guy looks at us, and he puts his hands up. And so when he puts his hands up, you know, I tell him, I said, you know, you need to stop walking. And he doesn't respond. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with this guy? And you can see he's kind of, you know, like scared. And I said, hey, let me see your hands. And he puts his hands all the way up. And when he puts his hands all the way up, he looks. And then he reaches inside the front of his pants. And so now we're screaming and hollering and let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. What are you doing? And my partner is standing next to each other. And, you know, there's a tactical thing you do to make sure everybody is safe, right? So we're doing that. And that's when the guy starts to pull his hand out. And I remember putting my finger, sliding it off the side of the weapon into the trigger guard, and I'm about to pull the trigger. And my finger is on the trigger. And my partner reaches over and taps my hand. And I look at him and I look back at the guy, and the guy's pulling out a colostomy. Like, he literally, and that's when I saw the armband. You know how when you go to the hospital and you put the little plastic thing? And I don't understand why they put those plastic things on, because those are the hardest things to get off. If you don't have scissors, those things are like, it's crazy, which is good, I guess. And that's when I see the hospital band, because I had gotten what's called tunnel vision. When you're under stress, the blood leaves your extremities, your hands, your feet, your legs, your arms, your brain, and goes to the vital organs because it's afraid something might happen. So it wants to make sure you're safe. So all the blood rushes to the center of your body. Now, the problem was, that's what I had. So when I had tunnel vision, all I could see was his hands reaching inside his pants in the front. Now, that's where people pull guns from. And I thought I might have to shoot the guy. What he was trying to show me is that he had already been shot. He had just got out of the hospital, and he spoke zero English. He only spoke Spanish. And I thought about that for a long time after that. So I almost killed this guy. And unfortunately, based on the circumstances, it would have been justified. Police are allowed to go one level higher than a person who's a threat. So if I think you're having a gun and you're reaching for it, the law says I get to defend myself. And if you happen to not have a gun or have a knife or have nothing, I still defended myself. And that stuck with me for years. But ongoing training allowed me to process that, where I didn't have to live with it because, one, I didn't do it. Two, it taught me I can't go to the other side and panic and then, just because somebody reaches in their pants, doesn't mean they have a gun and don't defend myself. One night we got sent to a call. Me and my partner, I was on field training. We went. It's at night, working midnight to 8. I remember squad area 61 at the time. Now 61, I don't know what the squad area is. They got 4 digits now. And as I'm going, you know, everything's fine. We take the call. We're walking back to the car, and I get back to the car, and there's a bullet hole in the windshield where I would have been sitting in the passenger side. Now, think about all the things that day had to have happened in someone else's house at someone else's location that caused me to get called and me to work that squad, to get assigned to it, to go to that call, to go inside at the time somebody put a bullet in the windshield. Think about that. Interesting. Oh, and by the way, me and glass, we don't have a good relationship. I talked about that where me and my partner fell through a plate glass window and all that stuff. One day I'm backing out of the police administration building, still on field training, and that's where all that stuff happens, right? You know, you're on field training and you're a new cop and you're incompetent and you do dumb stuff. I back the squad out, and if you've ever been to the police administration building down in the basement where you park a car, there are pillars everywhere. There are pillars everywhere, and they're huge, and the squad car barely fits. And I'm backing the car out. And as I back the car out, I look over my right shoulder to look through the back, not knowing my left driver's side mirror is bending. And you know, mirrors move, right? It bent all the way back, and I heard a, and I was like, what was that? And I turned around, but I was still rolling, and it went. And I had mirror glass in little fine grains all over my hair, all over my face, all over my eyes. And as it happens, my field training officer, she gets in the car and she looks at me and goes, oh, my God. Now, that scares the living crap out of me, right? But what happens to your body when you're under stress? What happens to your body when something flips by? You ever had a fly near your face? What's the first thing you did? Boop, you closed your eyes. So when it popped, my eyes closed. The problem was I couldn't open them. So they had to call the fire department. Then they had to call the sergeant. Then they had to call the shift commander. Then they had to call. So all these people get notified, the night inspector. So all these people get notified that some dumb rookie cop with a couple weeks on the job, is sitting down in the police administration building with mirror glass all over his eyes, and we have to call the fire department because if we can't get it out, he's going to be blind. Because now I got fine grains of glass all over my face. And I'm thinking to myself, so I went through a 6-month academy to go through all this stuff and fight people and learn how to fight and get beat up in the academy and learn how to shoot and do all this stuff to get taken out by a side view mirror. I was like, this is ridiculous. And so they call the fire department. Now, I don't know if you know, the fire department and the police department get along great. Outside of the police department and fire department talks about cops, cops talk about firefighters. But together, you can't mess with us. And you can't talk about the fire department. I can complain about the fire department, but you can't complain about the fire department because they're our brothers in public service. Got it? Or sisters. Got it? Okay. So they show up and they have to get this little, I don't know what it was. And they're wiping the glass off my head. And it takes about 40 minutes because they got to be really careful. So they got to wipe it off. But if they wipe too hard, it'll cut into my skin. Around my eyes and eyelashes. And he tells me, do not blink. And I said, why? He said, because there's glass laying on the top of your eyelash. And if you blink, it's going to slit your eyes. I was like, wow. Now, I don't know if he was like gassing me up or something, or if he's I don't know what it is, but he just, yeah. And so they finally do it. They get it off my face. And I'm thinking to myself, is this the job I really want? That you don't have to worry about all the bad things that can happen. You do stupid stuff yourself. Well, yeah, you do stupid stuff yourself. And between that and car crashes and kids dying and babies dying and adults dying, and all that stuff, you still deal with it every single day. And just like today, they'll go on and on and on, and they'll go through the funeral process if you're watching on TV. They'll go through all the things you have to do. And tonight, this afternoon, a shift just started at 4 o'clock. Another one's going to start at midnight. Another one will start at 7 o'clock. And life will go on. Thank God that's how life is wired. Life goes on. And the further you get away from the event, the better it becomes. The further away you get away from tragedy, you remember all the good things. Now, interspersed with that, I had a great time. The best decision I ever made was to become a law enforcement officer. Just like if I'm standing in front of my wife, I say the best decision I ever made is to get married. Right? Because, you know, you get yourself in trouble. But it's one of those things that you always remember. The shootings and the taking people into custody, the fights, the all that quote-unquote negative stuff that we got sent to do. You remember it. But over time, it fades. And so I got up this morning. I go in. I think to Starbucks. Yeah, went to Starbucks, got something, you know, got some coffee. I usually get some water and, you know, got one of those bacon, egg, and cheese wrap things. And, you know, I cheated and fell off the wagon because it's Friday. I have sweets on Friday and had some coffee cake. It was great. Sipping it with my coffee. Everything was great. And so I have a meeting today at Good Karma Brand. At 12:30. And so I say, you know what? It's about 11:45. Everything's starting. People are going into the funeral. I think I'm going to just go and head downtown. And so I hop on the expressway and I'm heading downtown. Because all these actions can trigger you, right? Every law enforcement officer retires with some level of post-traumatic stress disorder. It can be something simple. It can be something significant. But by and large, that's what generates when you do the job. And I'm driving. And I was fine. And it was a little cool outside. And I love natural air. So I rolled down my windows and everything was going great. And I'm driving. And then I heard a sound. And I was fine. Until I heard the sound. You know what the sound was? It wasn't a car. It wasn't a gunshot. You get used to it. It wasn't a firecracker. It wasn't a truck. It wasn't brakes screeching before an accident happened. It was a helicopter. And if you've ever been to a funeral, if you've ever been to a place nearby where there's a police or firefighter funeral going on, the one thing you have nearby is a helicopter. And I hadn't thought about Officer Corder. I hadn't thought about all the drama. I hadn't thought about 29 years of fun and struggle, and fights, and bullets, and firearms training, and driving. I hadn't thought about any of that for a couple days. Not since Wednesday. Hadn't thought about it, hadn't talked about it until I heard the helicopter. And that's what reminded me what the day was. That helicopter hovering over the crowd, the mass of officers honoring Officer Kendall Carter. Reminding me of those things, I hope no one ever has to do that for me. I hope no one ever has to drape my coffin with a flag. I hope there's not a processional that takes me to the morgue, to the hospital, and then the morgue, and then the funeral home, and then to church, and then laid to rest. But there it was, the reminder. I thought about how I was going to find myself today. What kind of day is it going to be? I thought it was going to be a pop-off day. But now when I look in the mirror, I just find myself in one state. Triggered.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
So, you're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017, the number. Hey, Truth Nation, now's your chance. Nah, I'm going to do that later. I'll do that at the end of my top five at five, like I don't know. Just one of them things. I'm trying to find stuff to pop off about. I guess I'm going to have to pop off about the YouTube chat because y'all tripping. Y'all be tripping. Let me see. Miles here. He done showed up finally. Thank you, SC. Appreciate you. Good afternoon, Dr. Ken and all live chatters on the chat. Love God said, bless everyone from Arkansas. Please hear me out, man. Okay. So here's my issue. I'm not trying to be mean, and I'm not trying to be insensitive. Somebody put that they're in Arkansas, and they ran out of gas hours ago. They called the police and road assistance, no help. I can't see the police not helping you if you're on the side of the road running out of gas. They said they have no family left, and that all they need is $12 to make it home, and they're praying for a miracle. So watch this. They didn't say where they were. They didn't say what their PayPal account was. They didn't say anything, right? It's a scam. It's a definite scam. It's a scam. With the fake picture, black and white picture, it says, love God. Come on. Come on. Don't worry about it. I blocked them. 833-212-1017 is the number. Come on. Come on. Not even smart enough to say you local. I'm in Arkansas. So? 833-212-1017 is the number. I am so behind and so backwards today. I had a conversation with somebody this morning. They was tripping. No, it was a pretty good conversation. You know, some people aren't used to you having the the personality they have. So then when you, quote unquote, as young folks say, when you match their energy, they don't like that. They question everything you say and do. To which I reminded them, why do I care what you think? Like, I'm not really understanding what are we doing here? Oh, no, we had a really good conversation. We had a great time earlier today, hung out, had a cup of coffee with some friends. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. Nothing's really making me mad today. I think the funeral service is kind of chilling me out today. Now, you and I both know that's going to probably last about 30 seconds, but I'm kind of chill today. You got any questions? You know what? I'm open today. Like, I'm in that space where if you had a question, you could just ask me and I would just be like, oh, so-and-so, right? Now, I also know that that's dangerous because I might just speak freely, then get myself in trouble, then be looking for a job on Monday, but, you know. But it's just one of those things. By the way, don't forget, tomorrow is the Truth Walk Against Violence led by Tory Lowe, 9 to 12. We're walking from Victory Over Violence Park down MOK to our studio here at 3rd Street Market. I'm going to do my absolute very best to make it on tomorrow. Bring an umbrella. It going to rain. Want to also say thanks to the support by 1MKE. We are 1MKE. Also want to say thank you to food sponsor Cousin Subs. Better bread, better subs, Cousin Subs. So, yeah, we're going to be there tomorrow. Truthwalkagainstviolence.com if you want to. Truthwalkagainstviolence, all one word, .com if you want to still sign up and show up and show out tomorrow. So don't you hate those phrases people use? Show up and show out. Like, shut up. God. Or, you know the one that just burns me? What used to burn me was thrive. Thrive through. Thrive. We're thriving. Oh, be quiet. What do you mean by thriving? Explain to me what you mean by thriving. What does that mean? Like, when we name stuff after the pop culture thing, yeah. Later, yeah, you're going to be called that 30 years from now. People are going to be like, that sounds so old. And that's, you know, stuff like that. Lean in. That has got to be the dumbest phrase I've ever heard in my entire life. I got a lot of dumb phrases I've ever heard in my entire life. You got to lean in. Shut up. Oops, I'm popping off today. I'm popping off. Who that? Who that? I'm sorry, I'm talking like I'm in New Orleans. 833-212-1017 is the number. Did you know today? What'd I do that for? Okay, hang on. Let me get back on the chat, see what y'all talking about, because y'all be tripping. Look, y'all got me triggered today. I'm saying. Wait. Kawanda, what you mean we used to? What you mean we used to? Anyway. Anyway. Everybody's happy that person got blocked because I don't know what that was about. I have no idea what that was about. None at all. 833-212-1017 is the number. Al, you're on the award-winning 1017 The Truth.
I know it's Pop-Off Friday. My Pop-Off Friday is can some of these people who live in the inner cities who want to fight up and down the street all day and throw half pint bottles and the Coke 45 bottles and the J.J. Fish chicken bags, can y'all please move to Whitefish Bay? Or River Hills, because I'm kind of picking up after you.
Yeah.
That's my Pop-Off Friday. It's very irritating, you know, and I know people have their issues, but can y'all just go somewhere else with that? Go to another zip code or another neighborhood, and you can park on the front lawn. You can speed down the street. You can tear down somebody else's community. Could you just move and give everybody peace? All That's right. My Pop-Off Friday. And everybody have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. If you got to pop off 833-212-1017, be nice when you pop off. You know, like no profanity and all that, and you know. But I get it. I got a person that parks in front of my house every night, eats and throws the wrapper, the food container, everything, the plastic bottle out of the window, and it's sitting there every morning. And I move it every morning. So now I need to put a camera on the front of my house that shows somebody dumping stuff in front of my house. What's up, Curly Q? And so I gotta get them on tape and then call the police and say, here's the person, here's the car, here's the plate. Go get them. Because you get tired. And if you live in a decent neighborhood, they come to your neighborhood and throw trash. It's almost like you have something I want. I don't have it. So I'm going to trash yours because I don't have it. And I don't understand that. When we come back, I want to talk about, maybe I'll just ask, I don't know, to ask the chat. I don't want to ask Glenn, because if I ask Glenn, he's going to say yes, or he's going to say no. I don't know. It's like a 50-50 chance. It's not like a 60-40 chance he'll know it or not know it. It's like a 50-50 chance he'll know it. I would put it at 75 only because I know he's from the Northeast. And so when I ask him, he's going to say, yeah, I've heard of it. But then if he says I haven't heard of it, I'm going to have to hold my peace and not go after him. Because it's Black history. Not everybody knows Black history. Not everybody was taught Black history. Not everybody was shared. No, nobody was. Not everyone had shared with them the important things about Black history. There are certain linchpins, certain points in Black history. If you Black, you better know it. When we come back, I'm going to ask. Is it okay to ask you, Glenn? Oh, and I'm going to ask both of y'all.
You can ask me.
Dude was like, ask him. Okay. All right. Well, we come back. I'm going to jump in and I'm going to ask you a question about Black history. And I'm going to wait a little bit to have some people in the YouTube chat answer. You only got about 10 seconds to answer yes or no. Because that way you won't go look it up. Oh, yeah, no, but nah. We're not going to do that.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. You know, I like songs like this because it's where you played your air bass or air piano or air guitar. Yep. You didn't get the one with the words?
It is the one with the words.
All right, I'm just checking. You got the actual version, like the real version, not the radio play version. There's the sax. Yeah. So, do people listen to lyrics?
I would say yes. I don't see why you wouldn't consume what the person's trying to say.
This part here. And so, as you get older, you go back and listen to songs and you hear the innuendo. All right. Uh-huh. 833-212-1017 is the number. Do you know What? I'm asking you a question because I said I was going to ask you a question when we came back from the break. I was going to ask you. Do you know what the Niagara Movement was?
I'm going to say no.
What? I'm done. I'm going home, y'all. This is the ultimate pop-off. I'm literally doing a pop walk-off. Done. Are you kidding me? What are they teaching you in New York school? Did they teach y'all black history in New York school? You don't know what it is either?
I went to private school in Georgia. And Boston.
If you went to private school in Georgia, there's no excuse. You're in the South.
You said the Niagara Movement. That's East. That's East Coast.
You're missing the point. It's black history. Doesn't matter where it happened. That's like saying Brown versus the Board of Education, Topeka, Kansas ain't important in Wisconsin because it happened in Kansas. What? No, I'm just giving him trouble because he kind of played into it. He knew it. He just played it. So the Niagara Movement was a civil rights organization formed in 1905 that advocated for immediate and full civil and political rights for African Americans, led by W.B. Du Bois and William Monroe Trotter. It serves as a precursor to an organization we know today as the NAACP. So one of the things they had to do, because they were dissatisfied with the slow racial progress and the accommodationist appeal and approach of Booker T. Washington. Well, we'll just wait for him to give it to us and then they give it to us. No, dude. So they started the Niagara Movement. But because they were fearful of things that were going on in America, they met in Niagara Falls, Ontario, in Canada. And then, of course, everybody decided that they had, you know, they had their way and this is the way it should be. You know how it happens when you get a group of people together and then everybody's in a group and they're in agreement and then they start getting selfish. Well, the movement's Declaration of Principles called for an end to segregation and the full enjoyment of citizenship rights. They engaged in public protests, sponsored legal challenges to Jim Crow laws, and used publications to voice their concerns. Here's my issue. It dissolved in 1910 due to financial and internal issues. Then they got tired of it. Du Bois then joined the newly formed NAACP and became the editor of their now, if I believe, the Sphinx magazine with Alpha Phi Alpha is the second longest magazine, black magazine running. I think the first longest magazine running is The Crisis. It's The Crisis from the NAACP. So I thought that was pretty cool. You did not know what the Niagara Movement was? We're going to have to touch. We can't wait. We cannot wait until February to talk about black history. We're going to have to do it. I'm going to have a black history day. I'm going to have a black history day once a week where we talk about things people need to understand. Do I need to go through each year? Do I need to go through a decade? I don't know. But maybe between now and the end of the year once, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I think I should just go by my gut. But that is something, and it's not your fault. I think it's something that every black person should know about, the Niagara Movement. I don't get it. I mean, I get it. Dimitri said the Niagara Movement has something to do with civil rights for blacks. And I'm assuming Dimitri's not black. We ain't got to go to break. I'm too busy talking about you. I cannot believe. Oh, my gosh. Help me.
Don't touch that dial.
More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212. I'm just being silly because it's Friday. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you know, live radio is fun because there's no such thing as a mistake. Like, there isn't. Other than, like the only thing you really have to do is play commercials. Like, after that, nothing is, oh, the music didn't play, or this printed or the microphone wasn't on. That's called live. That's just live. It's just great. And people get mad. You're not mad? No. Why'd I get mad? Like, that's fun. 833-212-1017 is the number. Top 5 at 5 up next.